Yes, Heavenly Father, open our eyes and our ears. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're in Amos today. Amos, of course, a prophet in Israel, declaring the judgment that will not be stayed, that the day of the Lord is at hand in Israel. Also, decreeing judgment on the nations round about, Edom, Esau. And that's where we left off at verse 11. And we'll just pick up there again. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Because he did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity, and his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. You know, there's a, if you go back to the Exodus, about chapter 20, there's the Ten Commandments are given there. And it says, he talks about visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. People, they read that statement and think, you know, God is very cruel to do that. But does he really do it, or do these people choose it? Because the fathers teach the sons, and the mothers teach the daughters, and children walk in the error of their parents. It's the very parents. Now perhaps once in a while one will break away and repent on his own and break the chains of sin that have been passed on from generation to generation. The descendants, a descendant of Edom or Esau, could be saved, could repent, an individual. But for the most part, that would be the remnant, a remnant that would truly repent. But for the most part, yes, the word is true. They hate him. They have no regard for his law, and they don't love the things that he loves. So they continue in sin. And it would be a blessing for those that hate God and hate his commandments. It would be a blessing for them if they had no children or grandchildren to carry on that kind of legacy. He continues, I will send a fire upon Teman. And of course, that would be one of the tribes of Edom, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. That would be the capital of Edom. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions, the children of Ammon, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Reba, and it shall devour the palaces thereof, with shouting in the day of battle, with a tempest in the day of a whirlwind. And their king shall go into captivity, and his princes together, saith the Lord. These are very specific prophecies that are given. And that's why the prophet, why it's recorded there in the first verse, giving us a dating of it. It would be like someone coming in and giving a specific prophecy about a certain city, say San Francisco, and then giving details about what buildings are going to fall and what houses and the governor's house is going to fall because they, you know, whatever they do that violates the law of the Almighty. That's the kind of prophecy that Amos is given here. This is a demonstration of how the Father works and judges nations in the day of the Lord. And when you're in it, when it comes, well, yes, it's the great and terrible day of the Lord, of the Almighty. We're in chapter 2 of Amos, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime. You know, even the Heavenly Father is not pleased when we take delight when we even take delight in the calamity of our enemies, even of his enemies. Edom, of course, the enemy of God's people. You know, Esau, Jacob's brother, was his enemy. Why? A lot of people, I believe they misjudge the story of Jacob and Esau, because it's all about that birthright. Edom was a man who did not care about the birthright. He didn't care about the promises of God. Jacob had his eyes on it. Jacob was after the Redeemer of mankind who was coming through that seed. He wanted it. He was after it. Other than that, what was the difference between these two men? They were both the sons of Isaac, but one was the chosen seed. One was one whom the chosen seed was going to come through. And why? Why was he chosen? You know, why does God choose me? Why does he choose you? You know, we read about that yesterday. He makes some vessels to honor and some to dishonor. Can the pot say to the potter, why have you made me thus? I choose to be a vessel of honor. I cry out for it. Whom he foreknew. Ah, so there's another clue there. Whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his only begotten son. So what did God foreknew? He foreknew Esau and Jacob before they were born. He knew something about these men before they were born. And he said, the elder, the one who came out first, will serve the younger. And Esau, of course, one day, thought so little of the birthright, of the promised redeemer of mankind. That was the birthright. That was what it was all about. He cared so little for it that he traded it for a bowl of pottage. You know why? You know what the illustration is there? That his appetite was more important than anything else. And he says, what do I care about a birthright? I'm hungry right now. I'm starving. Give me that. Yeah, you take the birthright. Because Jacob said, I'll tell you what. I'll give you my stew here if you'll trade me your birthright for it. Jacob was after that birthright. He wanted it. He wouldn't steal it. He wouldn't get it unlawfully, but he would trade for it. He wanted it really bad. So he could tell his brother didn't care for it. So the opportunity arose, and he traded a bowl of pottage for that birthright. And then it comes about that the time to transmit that birthright is going to take place. And guess what? Jacob's mother was wise. She knew those boys. And she knew that Isaac was going to give that birthright to the elder. Because under the law, that was what the law called for. Though there are exceptions to the law, as we learn as we go through the scriptures. And so she comes up with a plan. Now, let me ask you a question. See, the birthright belonged to Jacob. Esau, even though he traded the birthright, he had no intention of going through with his word. He had no intention whatsoever of keeping his word and going through with the deal. He frivolously traded the birthright as if it was nothing, unimportant, for a bowl of pottage. But when the time came, he had no intention whatsoever. He was not going to go to his father and say, Father, the birthright doesn't belong to me. You must give it to Jacob because he traded. I traded it for a bowl of pottage, to feed my appetite. No, he had no intention whatsoever. Now, let me ask you a question. A lot of people, they scorn Jacob and his mother for what happened, for what they did to get that birthright. I don't. I'm of a different mind. Let me ask you something. Can you steal what belongs to you? That's an impossibility. You can't steal what belongs to you. So Jacob stole nothing. And his mother, you know, conspired with him and not to steal anything, but to regain what was rightfully his, what rightfully belonged to him. Can you deceive to gain what rightfully belongs to you? There's a question. You know, the Messiah, we have a maxim. The Messiah said, be wise as a serpent. Who's the serpent? What is this, wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove? So basically what the Messiah is saying is, you can use serpent technology as long as no one is harmed, okay? Who was harmed by what Jacob and his mother did? Who was harmed, really? He regained his own property. Esau was not harmed. No one was harmed. Now, there may be a price to pay for employing serpent technology. Don't get me wrong. Nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to lie. You should never want to lie. But would you lie to save the life of a Jew if you were in Nazi Germany in the 30s? Would you have lied to save the life of your Jewish neighbor? Or would you have ratted him out just simply because you were asked? Or would you have lied? There's a time to lie. But there may be a price for lying. You get caught, you pay for with your life. That's right. You pay with your life. It's called perjury in America. You lie in the courtroom. No matter what reason you do it, you have to realize you can pay the price. So there's a price to be paid. And what about the price to your own soul? I think when you employ serpent technology, I think it wounds you a little bit. Yeah, I think it does. I think it wounded Jacob. I really do. I don't believe that he took any delight whatsoever in it. I know that he hated it. So we have this old and nurtured hatred. So Esau hated Jacob, and his descendants warred perpetually on Jacob, on Judah, on the children of Israel, because they would not allow this old hatred to die. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, another nation. So we're talking about taking delight in the calamity of your enemy. Be careful. Be careful. We can feel those things, and we do. I think we'd be dead if we didn't feel some gladness when our enemy falls, because we're men of flesh. But think better of it. That's the warning. Because he burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime. But I will send a fire on Moab, and it shall devour the places of Kirioth, and Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting, and with the sound of the trumpet. Now, Kirioth, that's an interesting name for a town, because it comes up in the Gospels, though most people don't recognize it. Kirioth, the name of two places in Palestine, Kirioth. And Kirioth was the place where a man came from, and his name was Judas, or his name was Judah. I believe that the Judas translation came out with the King James versions to differentiate the name of Judas from everyone else who had the same name, Judah. But he was Judas Iscariot, which means Judas or Judah of Kirioth. So was he a proselyte Jew? Was he really? There's a question there about Judah of Kirioth, Judas Iscariot. That's how we get it. But that's what it means. Ish is the word that means man in Hebrew. So if he was Judah-ish man of Kirioth, say he was Judah man of Kirioth, Judah Iscariot. So he was a man from Kirioth. Just a curiosity, something you might want to think about, that Judah was not really, that he was a Moabite or he was an Edomite. Because I believe that Edom held the land, that town at that time. But I believe that, yes, Judah Iscariot, Judas Iscariot, was a proselyte Jew and not a true Jew. Just an interesting note there. Whether it's true or not, there seems to be some indication there. And there's a note in the scripture there, and I believe that note is there for a reason, that he's called Judas Iscariot. Okay, but I will send fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kirioth, and Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting, and with the sound of the trumpet. So that sounds like they're going to be killed by the sword. that Moab is going to come to its end. And who are the Moabites? Let's see, the Moabites, and I believe the descendants of Lot through his daughters. If you're familiar with that story, that was Moab. And I will cut off the judge from the midst thereof, and I will slay all the princes thereof with him, saith Yahuwah, the Lord, the 3068, the Tetragrammaton. And that's the name that when you hear the Lord in Amos, that's usually the reference is to the Creator by his name. We have it translated the Lord in the Authorized King James Version. Verse 4, thus saith Yahuwah, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord, and have not kept his commandments, and their lies caused them to err, after that which their fathers have walked. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of shoes, that pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek. And a man and his father will go unto the same maid to profane my holy name. And they lay themselves down upon the clothes laid to pledge by every altar. And they drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. Yet destroyed I the Amorite before them, whose height is like the height of the cedars. And he was strong as the oaks, yet I destroyed his fruit from above and his roots from beneath. Also I brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite. And I raised up your sons for prophets and your young men for Nazarites. Is it not even thus, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord? But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. Behold, I am pressed under you, as a cart is pressed full of sheaves. Therefore the flight shall perish from the swift, and the strong shall not strengthen his force. Neither shall the mighty deliver himself, neither shall he stand that handleth the bow. And he that is swift to foot shall not deliver himself, neither shall he that rideth the horse deliver himself. And he that is courageous among the mighty shall flee away naked in that day, saith the Lord. The Heavenly Father addresses Judah and Israel, saying, I've done all this for you. To whom more much is given, much is required. You compare the judgments and the sins of the other nations with the sins of Israel. You've forgotten the law of your God. You have not kept my commandments. Lies caused them to err, after which their fathers walked. Look, I delivered you from mighty armies that you could not have been delivered from. I gave you their land. Amos chapter 3 and verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, now he says the whole family, that would be all the 12 tribes, everyone. Only you have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? That's what I was saying. We have all these judgments, and people don't heed the prophets. They don't note the prophets. They don't listen to them. It's wonderful that we have this chronology, that the Heavenly Father recorded this for an example to us, how he deals with nations. So when we look around and we see what's going on, we know that the day of judgment has come and the day of the Lord is at hand. The warnings, we've had the warnings, they're here. The prophets are crying out, but nobody's listening. They say, give us smooth words. Oh yeah, tell me I'll be raptured out before anything bad happens. Tell me the bad period, it's only going to be 3.5 years, and that I'm going to fly away before it happens. Yeah. Oh, I love those words. Oh, can't wait till the Lord comes, because I'll get to leave this place and all of the stuff that's going to happen, all that bad stuff is going to happen to all those people, all those poor people that are left behind. It won't happen to me. Yeah. I pray, lead me, Father. Teach me obedience so that I might follow you, so that I can be led by your Spirit in the time of trouble, that I might remove my foot before the trouble comes, because I hear your voice, because I've desired nothing more than to obey you and keep your commandments. Now I can hear your voice. If you say go, I'll go. If you say stay, I'll stay. If you say hide yourself, I'll hide myself. Whatever you say, because you know what's coming. The day of the Lord is at hand. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through Amos. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org, and join me again after the news. I will return.